All right, good to see you this evening. Take your Bible, if you would, please, and turn to Matthew chapter 20. And in Matthew chapter 20, we're going to read another one of these greatest stories ever told. And I'm enjoying studying these things. I hope that you are also, and I know you are, and many of you teaching these things, and I know they'll be a blessing to you. When we come to Matthew chapter 20, we read the story of the laborers in the vineyard. The story of the laborers in the vineyard. Probably this is kind of a familiar parable. It's one of the more familiar ones that we're going to study. But there is a powerful truth, really one great powerful truth in each one of these parables. And there is a powerful truth we want to understand as we look at this particular parable. Before we read the parable in Matthew 20 and verse 1, I want you to back up to Matthew chapter 19 and verse 27. These two chapters kind of go hand in hand because we need to get the scene for the Lord Jesus giving this particular parable. The scene was that the rich young ruler, as we have come to call this man, has presented himself to Christ. And of course, he walked away. The Bible says very sorrowful. But he walks away with all his possessions in hand. And the disciples are here and they see that. In fact, in another gospel account, it tells the fact that this man was very wealthy. And it mentions here in this chapter that he had great possessions. But he walked away sorrowful because he had rejected Christ. He rejected the person of Jesus Christ. And by the way, that's true of every person who rejects the person of Jesus Christ. The wealth can't bring true happiness. But the disciples had a reaction in their own hearts and minds. And Peter is the one who opens his mouth first, of course. We see that happening again and again. Look in chapter 19, verse 27. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. Now, this rich young ruler still had everything in his pockets and everything in his hands, and he's walking away seemingly with everything still in his possession, but Peter's thinking, we left everything we had to follow you, Lord. And look at the question Peter asks. What shall we have therefore? You might want to mark that question, because really the parable that we're going to read is the answer to that question. What shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you that ye which have followed me in the regeneration when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone that hath forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive an hundredfold and shall inherit everlasting life. Jesus is saying, look, God's going to take care of his own. You understand that? It's not just in the after this life. Even in this life, you're going to receive a hundredfold. And we learn something about following Christ, giving up things we love for someone that we love more, and that's Jesus Christ. Verse 30, But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. For the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers in his vineyard. As we read this parable, we find that there's a man who has a job that really needs to be done, okay? He's the householder, and he has a large harvest. And what he really needs is he needs people to help labor and to bring in his harvest. Look at verse 2. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, you might want to circle that word agreed in your Bible, he sent them into his vineyard. So he found these laborers, and they agreed to work for a penny for the whole day. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. If you want to write a little note in your Bible, that's 9 o'clock in the morning. Remember the Jewish day started at 6 o'clock in the morning. So 7 o'clock was the first hour. 8 a.m. was the second hour. The third hour here is 9 a.m. Still pretty early in the day. But he goes out again. He needs more laborers. And he saw others stand in the marketplace. Verse 4, and he said to them, Go ye also into the vineyard. And whatsoever is right, I will give you. Now, there's no agreement made this time. The householder just simply said to these workers, I'll give you whatsoever is right. Now, really, if we want to just put it right in these words, really, that little phrase is the answer of the Lord Jesus to Peter's question. What shall we have, therefore? Here's what you're going to have, whatsoever is right. And by the way, God's the one who decides what's right, not us. Really, this is what you're going to have, whatsoever is right. So the second group at 9 a.m. goes out for whatsoever is right, and they went their way. Verse 5, and again he went out about the sixth and ninth hour, that's 12 noon, and then 3 in the afternoon, and did likewise. And about the 11th hour, that's 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and it's almost at the very end of the day, he went out and he found others standing idle, and saith unto them, why stand ye here all the day idle? They say unto him, because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. So no agreement made with any of the other laborers that went out throughout the day. Look, it says in verse 8, so when even was come, the Lord of the harvest saith unto his steward, call the laborers, and give them their hire, beginning from the last to the first, from those that came at 5 o'clock all the way backwards to those who worked from 6 o'clock in the morning. Verse 10, but when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more. Excuse me, verse 9. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. So the pennies start being handed out to all the men. Verse 10, but when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more. And they likewise received every man a penny. So the guys that came at 5 o'clock got a penny. You get the picture? The guys that came at 3 o'clock in the afternoon got a penny. The guys that came at 12 noon got a penny. The guys that came at 9 a.m. got a penny. And here come the guys from the very first part of the day. They think they're going to get more, but they just got a penny. Look at verse 11. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good men of the house, saying, these last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? You want to mark that word agree again? Didst thou not agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is and go thy way. I will give it unto this last, even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first and the first last. For many be called, but few chosen. Hey, this is an interesting story, isn't it? And Jesus gives this story, and I imagine that as he's telling the story, and we read about this greedy group who at the very beginning had to agree, they had to know exactly what they were going to get before they were willing to work for the householder. Everybody else said, we'll just take whatever you deem is right for us, householder, and we'll go out and we'll labor for you. But this first group, watching all these other people receive a penny for the day, I mean, it made for a bad evening for them. Do you understand that? Because they're griping and they're murmuring, but when it comes down to it, they had agreed for that penny. They insisted on a contract before they labored, and so that's exactly what they got. Now, I just imagine that while Jesus is telling the story, the disciples are just kind of sheepishly turning inwards and just backing away. It's kind of like when you ask a question, you just realize, I wish I hadn't asked that, you know? I wish I hadn't asked that. Because I feel pretty dumb now that I asked it. You know what Jesus was saying? Listen, men, you've given everything. You've forsaken all to follow me. And I want you to know something. I will give you what's right. I'll take care of you. Can't you just trust me to give you all that you need for your life? And can't you just go out and labor in the vineyard of the Lord? You see, that's the message. That's the message. We notice three truths real quickly. First of all, we notice from the story, and this is a neat story, but we notice these things. First of all, we notice that laborers are needed. Remember Jesus' great prayer request in Matthew chapter 9? He stopped and he told his disciples, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth what? Laborers into the harvest. There's no lack of the harvest, but there is a lack in laborers. And Christ's prayer request is, let's pray for laborers in every state, in every country, in every city, in every town, in every county, in every community, down every street. We need laborers for the Lord Jesus Christ. You understand that? Listen, the householder had a big job to do, and I really believe God wants to do a big work in this world today, don't you? I believe he wants to save people and change lives and redirect homes, and I believe God can do that. But you know what? God's message doesn't just go to people's ears and go into people's homes by itself. God's chosen to use you and to use me as laborers in his vineyard. You see, the first lesson is just very simply this. We need to be laboring for the Lord. And the time to do that is now. This is toward the end of the day. We have one less day to labor for God than we had at the beginning of this day. And you know, this is halfway through the week. We almost have one less week to labor for God than we had before this week began. I mean, time is flying by. It's time to be a laborer in the vineyard of the Lord, you see? We notice, secondly, this, that looking at others will ruin your life. You know, naturally, we want to look at others and take our eyes off the Lord Jesus, don't we? But the quickest way just to go blind in the Christian life is to take your eyes off Jesus and just look at other people. In fact, the quickest way just to get absolutely discouraged is to watch everybody else and try to figure out what reward are they getting and what recognition are they receiving. That's the quickest way to get disappointed. You know why? Because people are not perfect and they'll disappoint you. And by the way, even the honor that we give to people is imperfect because we're not perfect. And that'll disappoint you. You say, well, that wasn't fair and that wasn't right. Well, let's just get our eyes off those people and get our eyes on Jesus. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, still in the Bible. Remember, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. If we keep our eyes on Him, just think of what kind of a laborer we would really be. Just trusting Him. Lord, I know You'll give me whatsoever is right. Lord, I'm not worried about what other people are getting and how other people are laboring. I'm not worried about if it's 6 o'clock in the morning or 9 o'clock in the morning or 12 noon and some people are still sitting out on the side of the street. I'm just going to labor. I'm not going to watch them. I just want to work in the harvest field of God, and I'm going to trust God to take care of my needs and give me whatsoever is right. Listen, that's the Christian life. If we look at others and we're trying to labor looking at others, just very simply, we don't have much of a life. You understand that? That ruins our Christian life. It ruins it. And then the third thing I want to emphasize is this. And this is really the great point of the whole parable. That's just simply that the Lord is trustworthy. The Lord is trustworthy. It's almost as if Christ is looking at Peter when he's telling this part of the story in verse 3 and 4. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing in the idol in the marketplace and said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, I will give you. It's almost like you could see Jesus pausing and maybe just glancing at Peter. As if, Peter, this little part of the story is for you. You don't need to ask, what are you going to give us, Lord? You don't need to try to make some kind of a contract with me, the Lord is saying. You just need to trust me. Why? Because God, by His very nature, is trustworthy. He is trustworthy. He is worthy to be trusted, and whatsoever is right, and He determines what's right, He will give us in our own lives. Here's a clincher verse. It's Romans chapter 8 and verse 32. Romans chapter 8 verse 32 says, He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Hey, is there anything that God would withhold from you that you need from your life? Listen, there's nothing that He withhold because He's already proven that He will not withhold anything because He gave all at the very beginning. He gave everything He had at the onset. Why? Because He's already given us His own life. He's already given us His own precious Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And if He gave His own Son, the Lord Jesus, then how shall He not with Him freely give us all things? He can provide. He can meet our needs. He will give us whatsoever is right, and we don't have to work on a contract with the Lord. Now look, we can all identify, trying to labor for the Lord, we can all identify at least sometime in our lives with how these disciples felt, right? There he goes, and he's rejected Christ, but it seems like he's better off because of it, right? We can identify with how they felt. Let's take these truths that Jesus wanted them to understand. Let's understand them in our own hearts. Let's understand that laborers are needed. Let's understand we're not supposed to look at others or it'll ruin our lives. Let's understand this, above all, that the Lord Jesus Christ is just trustworthy. We don't have to make an agreement. We don't have to agree on anything before we start out. Let's just serve Him and know we can trust Him to give us all that we need. Let's pray together. Father, we love You and pray to take these truths and drive them deep in our hearts and drive them in the heart of our church, Lord, as we teach them this week in the Sunday school. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.